waves of happiness and distress. Now, to get back into that Ananda Maya of Vyasa state, that ocean of happiness, we have to learn to love Krishna, to find our taste in Krishna. But that's the problem. We are not really allowing Krishna to enter our heart. It's like Madhavananda Prabhu told us this morning. Bakasura came to Vrindavan disguised as a crane, and he actually brought Krishna into his mouth. He was having the Lord there in his mouth. However, he couldn't swallow it down and bring him to his heart or stomach or anywhere down. He spit him out. This is our problem. We cannot, we find it difficult to bring Krishna into our heart, and to bring him down, so to say, to bring him to internalize, to bring him where he is. So we have to learn somehow to find pleasure in Krishna, and we try to do this by chanting the holy name, and also by hearing about Krishna, his qualities, his moods, his activities. Parikshit Maharaj, at the end of his life, said fasting for 7 days. He describes his experience that although he was fasting, and normally one becomes weakened by fasting, he felt more and more enlivened by hearing about Krishna, and he asked Shukadev Goswami to not even stop for the night. It was going on non-stop, day and night, the Krishna Katha. And when Shukadev came to the 10th canto, something amazing happened. Shukadev had just told about a childhood leela of Krishna. It was the leela where Krishna liberated Putana. He had just finished it. And then he had said something that by hearing Krishna's childhood pastimes, Govinda Labhate Ratim, one attains attachment to Govinda in the heart, you know. So Parikshit had heard about baby Krishna and how he was crawling and playing on the body of Putana after Putana was delivered by him. And he also felt, wow, this is so sweet. But Shukadev might now go on to other pastimes. After childhood comes youth, and then comes other pastimes. So he said, please tell me more about Krishna's childhood. This is so sweet. I like so much to hear this. He said, Karoti Kana Ramyani is so pleasing to the ears. Yes, there are avatars. We have heard about Matsya, Koma, Nishinga. But Krishna's childhood pastimes are so pleasing to my ears. And he said, Manu Jnani Chana Prabhu, they're very attractive also to my mind. I keep on going back and back and back to Krishna, his sweet laughter, his playfulness, his stealing butter and so on. And something which I feel is this Srinvato, this hearing, it destroys my apathy, that I have been a little bit, you know, a little bit cold towards Krishna, apathetic. romantic, but this is different. And also, it vanquishes my distaste in his pastime. I actually developed taste by hearing this. So in my mind, this is very good. So please talk more about it. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He gives 7 effects of Krishna Katha, but I want to stop here. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, in the beginning, when you hear in the association of devotees about Krishna, you actually become attracted to devotees. You like this Sangha. You like, I like to be with these devotees, chant Krishna's name and be there. But as you continue to hear about Krishna's Balya Leela, Balya means childhood pastimes, then you actually develop Krishna Prema, love for Krishna. It comes into your heart. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, this is so because in Krishna's pastimes, two things come together. Who in his childhood pastimes? Who can tell us what comes together in Krishna's pastimes? As a child. Well, he's very sweet. How he smiles, how he walks, how he plays in the mud of Vrindavan like a little snake, you know, he's there. It's a mud, cow dung and cow urine, and he... And sometimes he walks after people who walk through this, thinking that this is Mother Yashoda and so on. But then the stranger turns around, and it's not Yashoda, it's just a cowherd man. Krishna is afraid, you know, and so on. These very sweet childhood pastimes are there. But at the same time, mysteriously, in effect, surprisingly, in Krishna's pastimes as a child, there is also this amazing opulence. Like Krishna showed Mother Yashoda the universe in his mouth. Have you ever seen a little child showing the universe in his mouth? Of course not. It is. He did this twice, and now. As the Lord has shown opulence in other pastimes, like this, showing the universe in his mouth, like as Vamana, you remember the Lord extended his foot more than Rinaldo and Messi can do. Foot like this, not to shoot meaningless goal, but to pierce with his toe through the layers of the universe. That's a big thing, that's a great thing. Or when it was time to kill Hiranyakashipu, the Lord took on a particular form, the form of a man and half lion. He was like this, half he from here, he was a lion. From down there, he had legs and everything like a human being. But Krishna, as an all-attractive infant, a baby, he exhibited his unlimited potency, but at the same time, he was smiling like a little child, crying with hunger, running away from cats, throwing his legs upward, doing everything. It is said, when he was sucking Putana's breast to pull out the prana, he showed the power of his lips. in the pastime when he demolished the cart demon. Remember, Krishna was lying under the cart and he was throwing his legs up, pain. He showed the power of his toes. And when he was liberating Trinavatasura, who had carried him up, high in the sky, miles in the sky, he just choked him a little and showed the power of his hands. So Krishna is extremely sweet because or attractive as a child, because on one hand he's there with his locks of hair, his big cheeks and the earrings dancing on it, his smile where he opens the mouth a little and his beautiful small teeth are showing, and all the things, his tiny little feet, ooh, so tiny, leaving footprints in the mud, the cow dung urine mud. I don't know how to express it in another way. But at the same time, showing such unlimited potency. When Indra, the lord of the heavenly planet, heard about Krishna's childhood pastimes, he thought to himself, I have blown it. I was never impressed by Krishna. And when Krishna, was slightly more grown, when he was not just a small toddler crawling in the dust of Braj, when he was a little bigger, and he told his father to stop the Indra Puja and take the ingredients to worship Govardhan, I even offended the Lord and his devotees. I went against him. Do you remember what he did? How much his ego was hurt? He sent this, let us call them apocalyptic rains and storms. These were rains and storms which could, which destroyed all of Braj and threatened to destroy all the Brijvasis. So Indra thought, I have never seen Krishna in his childhood pastime. In fact, when he was a little bit older, how old was he when he lifted the Govardhan Hill? I think this is seven years. I also remember seven. Then I just went against him. This shows my demonic nature. The Lord appeared on the earth. He showed his supreme attractive pastime. Then I turned against him. And Indra actually began to cry. It is said, humility comes to someone when he or she realizes that they have missed an opportunity which was given to them. At that time, deep humility fills the heart and one says to himself, oh, I'm useless. Everything I've tried in my life, I've just spoiled by wasting a unique opportunity. I pray that each one of us will be saved from that type of humility which comes after a deep regret of having done something wrong. But this was how Indra became humble. He thought, I have totally missed a chance. Narada came by the other day and he saw Indra sitting despondent on his throne, and he said, what's up? Why are you so depressed? You are the Lord of the heavens. You should be enjoying and being happy. And Indra said, no, I'm there, really. I never appreciated my Lord. And then when my Lord gave an order, I should be happy that he took the things which were my for my worship and used them in his plan, in his way. I grant against him. Narada said, I can show you again Krishna's childhood pastimes. Would you be interested in that? And I said, you have this power? No, said Narada Muni, I don't have this power, but the Brijvasis have this power because they love Krishna. And Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are at present crying and crying. There's a channel of tears coming from their house to the Jamuna. This is how much they're crying. Was it in Rabai? When Krishna left Vrindavan and he first went to Mathura, where he stayed for something like 24 or 28 years. And then he went to Dwaraka. After Krishna left, the Brijvasis never saw him again. But all they can do is think of him day and night. And now, after 100 years have passed, the people of Dwaraka will go to Kurukshetra, which is very close to Vrindavan. And I will inform the Brijvasis that Krishna is only a 3 days' journey by bullock cart away from them. And they will all come and go, come to Kurukshetra to see Krishna. And when Krishna and the Brijvasis meet, there will be an overflow of divine emotions. Some will see him as their friend, some will see him as their lover, but Mother Yashoda will see him as my little boy. And at that time, you should come, Indra, and you should see because Krishna responds to all rasas. My dear devotees, before I can continue with this katha, I need to inform you that for those devotees who worship Krishna as a little boy, for instance, on the altar is a gopal who has a ball of butter in his hand, Krishna reveals himself as a little boy. For those devotees who worship Krishna as a beautiful cowherd boy who is wrestling and running with his cowherd boys, Krishna shows himself in this form. For those devotees who worship him like an old man with a gray beard, it's possible that the Lord reveals this form to these devotees. The Lord reciprocates, in other words, in the way in which someone approaches him. And he shows a corresponding form which corresponds to the way of worship. So yes, said Narada, said Indra, I want to be there when Mother Yashoda meets Krishna again and Nanda Baba meets Krishna again, because they always worship Krishna as their darling little boy. We have this a little bit in this world also. I once saw an old elderly lady with her son. The son was my friend. He's still, but I have not seen him many years. This friend was a professor by now. He was 68 years old. And the old lady was perhaps 80 years old. now 80, is that possible? 22, no? Yeah, if it's 22, women can get children at 22. So as they were walking, I was passing by, it was in Heidelberg, and the old lady would call her 68. So she must have been 90 years old, 68-year-old son. Oh boy, oh you don't know, you're so inexperienced in life. can you help your mother? Not like this, why are you so foolish? Small little boy, I should cook some sweet rice for you, you know. They were talking like this. But the boy was 68 years old. However, when Mother Yashoda sees Krishna like this, Krishna is like a little boy. He responds. This man could not turn back his genes, you know, to being the boy with which his mother addressed him. But Krishna responds perfectly to us. In fact, it is said Krishna was always feeling the separation from the residence of Vrindavan. In his sleep, he would call out the names of his cowherd boyfriends. He would call Sudam, or sometimes Shridam. I almost said Shrikant. Gobata. Kinkini. Ojashri. Many beautiful names. And he would also call out in his sleep the names of his cows. And when he called these names, he looked in the morning at his pillow, it was wet from his tears. He was crying. He was emotionally involved. When Krishna decided to go to Kurukshetra, he was secretly hoping that he would meet the Brijvasis. In fact, he sent Narada Muni, now I remember, to Braj and said, now I'm going close to Vrindavan, tell everyone they should come. Everyone? Yes, also your bulls and cows? 100%, certainly, everyone should come. The Brijvasis went in a big procession, singing songs about Krishna, dressing themselves in the most colorful way and being so joyful, now they would see Krishna. You might ask, could Krishna not visit Vrindavan? No. There was a secret understanding between Nanda Maharaj and Krishna, that Krishna would leave Vrindavan because he had the avataric mission to destroy all the demons. So if the demons would come to Vrindavan, they would destroy. This was not a battleground, this is a flower garden. And also, the demons would find out about the intimate relationship between Krishna and Nanda and Yashoda. And if they wanted to attack Krishna, then they would perhaps go and try to capture Nanda and Yashoda and do Nanda and Yashoda harm. Isn't that what demons do when they go after one person and they cannot get this person so easily? They attack him at his weakest spot, that is his attachment to those he loves most, and they capture the person that loves most, and they say then to the person, do this and this, otherwise I kill your parents or your beloved. No? And you've heard this, no? You know these things. You've seen perhaps in movies this is always the way the demons go. So, okay, so Krishna comes from where? Dwaraka, to where? Kurukshetra, to perform a yajna, and Narada had informed whom? Brajavasis, who come to Vrindavan, from Vrindavan. Did Narada inform another person? Who else came? Sorry? Indra, yes. You have forgotten the beginning of the katha already. But you have not even started to fast. I'm surprised. Tomorrow it's all right to forget. Not today. What was with Indra? He wanted to see the pastimes. What pastimes? Balya. Yeah, wow. So there are three items, three persons. Krishna with the Yadu clan, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, the gopis, all the bulls, perhaps also the birds and so on, coming from Vrindavan, and Indra coming from the heavenly planets. Wow, this is a meeting, you know. Oh, powerful meeting. Let's hear what happened then. When Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd community arrived in Vrindavan Dham, in Kurukshetra, they were looking for Krishna the way they remembered him. Scene was completely different. There were elephants, there was military, there was strong built Kshatriya warriors walking in. Nanda did not see his boy. As he was walking home in the place of Kurukshetra, a favorable wind carried the fragrance of Krishna. Do you know how Krishna smells, his natural fragrance? Musk and sandalwood, aguru, little camphor, and lotus flowers. You know everything. It is very difficult for Krishna to hide his smell. When the Lord appears to the Bhakta, the first thing that Bhakta receives of the Lord is his fragrance. It enters into the nostrils, but it is so wonderful that no perfume producer could create something, although they have the similar description. This, so many parts of this. No, it is always different. So Nanda Maharaj followed the smell of Krishna through this military camp with many ornate tents. You know, these tents were full of furniture and the most golden items, the tents of kings, until he came to an area which was fenced in. And when he looked through the fence, he saw at the yajna brahmanas, and he saw one person who looked like Krishna. Not exactly. He had a turban now. He was dressed in majestic cloth. He had a very, very serious expression on his face. Krishna always smiles. Mm. And Nanda thought, is this Krishna? So he told to the guards, I need to go to the fire. Please let me come through. Oh, who are you? Krishna's father. Krishna's father? Come on, everyone knows. What does everyone know? Who is Krishna's father? Vasudeva and his mother. Devaki. And you are saying you are his father? That cannot be. So Nanda Maharaj was accompanied by his wife, Yashoda. Nanda Maharaj felt very sad, but Yashoda's grief on seeing Krishna so close but not being allowed to come to Krishna was indescribable. You must know, Yashoda's love for Krishna was so much that of a mother to the child, that when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and destroy Kamsa, Mother Yashoda put a clay pot of milk and rice into one of the carts, and under the clay pot some coals, so that this preparation would simmer, so to say, and turn into, you know, what is this preparation? Sweet rice, so that Krishna would have some sweet rice in Mathura to eat. And when Nanda Maharaj returned from Mathura without Krishna, only with the promise that Krishna will return after some time, Mother Yashoda cried so hard that actually, and could not accept it, so that in her house, it's a palace actually, she had a hall, and in this hall, she would feed Krishna. She would think Krishna is there, but Krishna was not there. She would cook for Krishna. Krishna likes this, he will eat this, but Krishna was not there to eat it. In the form in which we think of Krishna. But it is described that Krishna, who was at that time there in Mathura, he wrote Mother Yashoda a letter which was carried by messengers on a horse to Vrindavan. In the letter it said, "Oh Mother, you are feeding me every day in the room, and I appear in your imagination. You think it's just like a dream, but it is not. Please know that my appearance in your mind is identical with my appearance when I stayed in Vrindavan." And he said, "I will prove you, Mother, in the room. On the first day you fed me rice with milk. On the second day, roti with ghee. On the third day, sweets soaked in milk." So Mother Yashoda knew her what she served Krishna in this pangs of separation. And it was true. On the first day when Krishna was not there, she had cooked a preparation. What did she cook? Rice with milk, yes, sweet rice. Second day? Roti with ghee. And third day? Sweets soaked in milk. That we have not seen so often, but it, I hear, is very, very nice. So when Mother Yashoda, who had this type of emotion to Krishna, saw Krishna in the yajna, you know, looking where are the residents of Vrindavan and doing the yajna somewhat mechanically, she called out from behind the fence, "Hey Govinda!
Hey Govinda!
Hey Gopal!
Hey Gopal!"
You can sing the song. This. Can you imagine what happened when Krishna heard this? Krishna, who is now the prince, Krishna, who is now accustomed to ordering military around large armies, Krishna, who now rides in a golden chariot maneuvered by the best and most skillful of chariot drivers, Daruka. Krishna just couldn't stay seated at this yajna. Due to his love for Yashoda, he turned into a little boy. At this moment, Narada shouted, who was up in the sky together with Indra, shouted, "Now, don't sleep, look!" And from up, Indra saw Krishna in this little naked form. There was a little black string around his beautiful belly. The belly was a little healthy looking. It was coming forward because of all the butter. and there was something with which Mother Yashoda put around Krishna. It's like an ornament which has two claws of a tiger. You have seen this? It goes like this. Mother Yashoda has put this in order to protect Krishna. Heavy tiger claws, almost as they remind us of Lord Nishina, you know. So little Krishna was just running in zigzag between the whoever was watching, and was running towards Yashoda and jumped on her lap and just hold her put his little sweet little arms around her, and he only could say one word. It's a word with two letters. Yes, Ma. It's all right. Mother Yashoda took care, took Krishna. And Indra saw, how sweet. This is love. Jiva Goswami has described in Gopal Champu what is happening in such love. He says it's like as if the monsoon season comes together with the hottest scorching sun. Can you imagine wild monsoon? Tears, we say, tears. You are raining tears. That is the feeling of the Brijvasis, and Krishna's feeling is like the hot sun, and where everything is scorched. Nothing makes sense any longer. Everything is just burning hot. And if the two come together, can you imagine what happens? Mist and fog, you know. It's all, you can see nothing any longer. So this is what happens in love. Can you imagine, have you ever loved in this life? And have you ever, after a long time, where there was perhaps a misunderstanding, where there was perhaps distance because of life went differently, and then imagine you come close, and then it's like sun and monsoon coming. It's totally overwhelming. So later in the night, Krishna just yearned to be with the Brijvasis. He left his camp, he went to Mother Yashoda, and he sat on her lap, but as a little boy. And he had loving exchanges with every one of his devotees. Mother Yashoda performed Abhishek of Krishna with the milk of her breasts. This was a loving Abhishek. Then Krishna went out to see the bulls and oxen. They were now grown up. He went to each one of them, and he recalled each single name of his cows and bulls. He had not forgotten. And he patted them and said, "Oh, so and so, I remember you. You were so small when I was a small bullock, but now you're so big and strong." And the bulls would go and cry, and Krishna would scratch. Krishna would say, "Oh, so-and-so, I also remember you." And he would walk to so many so-and-sos. And in this way, he affectionately was with everyone. Let's pause here for a moment before we conclude. My dear devotees, don't think that Krishna is merciful only to Radharani. He is merciful to the calf, and to the bulls. Don't think Krishna is merciful only to the great devotees. He's merciful to all those, even the small ones like us, who are trying to worship him. That's his quality in his heart. See, Krishna doesn't see what we lack. Krishna does not see what we don't give to him, or what we hold back, or Krishna doesn't see our difficulties, which we still have. Krishna always sees and appreciates whatever little thing we give. Once when I was in Serbia, we divided all the participants into, I believe, 5 groups, and each group had to make a drama, but not just any drama. I gave them items. One group I gave an alarm clock and they had to make a drama around the alarm clock. Another I gave them a pen. But this one group, which I remember to this day, I gave them a rope. And this is the drama. There was one devotee who was very, very depressed. He had some mental disturbance. Wrong. There was a devotee who had a neighbor who was very depressed, who had some mental disturbance. And this devotee somehow was worshipping a Gopal, you know, this little deity with a ball of butter in his hand. And on that day, he forgot to buy milk. So he thought, well, let me check if my neighbor has some milk. So he went to the ring, 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 to the neighbor. But the neighbor was just preparing himself to hang himself. He had put the chair, he had put the rope down. And now, as he was going to hang himself, ring, ring, ring. Oh, this is not the time to ring. Ring, ring, ring. So he went down from the chair. It was very moving. And he answered the door, "What do you want? I'm so depressed. I'm in trouble," said the devotee. "My Gopal wants milk and I have forgotten to get milk. So let me bring, I need milk. Do you have milk in your refrigerator?" "Oh, you Hare Krishnas. You come really at the wrong moment." Anyways, he went back to his kitchen and looked at it, and there was a can of milk, and he said, "Take your milk now and bang, don't disturb me." So then the scene showed he went back on the chair. He put the rope around his neck. And because in Vedic theater you should not show the death, the light went out, and and it was clear he had hung himself. So then the light went on, and this man was finding himself in the kingdom of God. He said, "How did I get here?" And Gopal came and said, "Oh, you gave me milk." Can you get the theater? Because of that little service of giving milk, even though he was depressed, and even though he later took his life, which is not something nice, you know, Krishna accepted only his service and took him. And I thought this was such a good description. I want to describe this in Prabhupada's words. "You have seen Krishna's picture." Oh, have you seen? Yeah, yeah. he is embracing a calf also.
Calf, little calf.
And he is embracing Radharani. It's not that he is simply attached to Radharani and the gopis. He's attached to everyone, every living entity. Krishna is the best friend of everyone. So if you want friendship, I think we all want, make friendship with Krishna. He'll protect you and he will satisfy you in all respects. There is a beautiful picture where Krishna has one arm around a calf. Even if you are an animal, I can identify with this, Krishna has affection for you, especially if you try to, someone said serve, yes, serve him. To become an animal of Krishna is a great fortune. It is not an ordinary thing. Anyone who is an associate of Krishna, boyfriends, cows, calves, trees, plants, flowers, or water. If you are a water devotee of Krishna, who serves Krishna with Abhishek, no? They are all devotees of Krishna. They serve Krishna in different capacities. Someone is serving Krishna as an animal, somebody is serving Krishna as a tree, and somebody is serving fruits and as fruits and flowers, somebody as Yamuna water, or as the beautiful cowherd men and damsels, or as Krishna's father and mother. Krishna has so many who love him, and he also loves them. My dear devotees, this is the whole point of Krishna consciousness, to somehow develop love for Krishna. And the way you do that is you see the examples of those who love Krishna. And then you meditate about them and you hear about them. So by hearing about Indra, who missed his chance in the very beginning, by hearing about Yashoda, by hearing about Krishna as a baby, a Balya, a little Bal Gopal, Bal Govinda, and this loving dealings which are there, uncomplicated, simple, absolutely no formality. Gopal, come here, says Mother Yashoda. Faster. The Lord is ruled by this love. This is how to become Krishna conscious, to learn to love Krishna by following in the footsteps or understanding how the great devotees love him. Good. Now, let me secretly look at the message. Yes. Now we will say Jai Krishna's little boy, he needs protection, so we need to worship Durga, so that she she protects Krishna. No? This is Madan Mohan told me from Switzerland that he once went into an email shop, you know, ISTD, where you can do computer work and everything. And now it's everywhere. Now the Wi-Fi is better than in, for sure better than in Goloka Dham, but better than in the West, in Vrindavan. No? But there were times when if you wanted to make a phone call, you had to go to one shop, you know. And when you want to do computer work, all in this one shop. And so Madan Mohan had done his emails and everything, and asked the shop owner, how do you worship Krishna? And the shop owner said, I don't worship Krishna. What? I thought, I'm in Vrindavan. You don't understand, Krishna is a little boy. I worship Durga, that she protects him. You laugh about it, and it's wonderful that you can find some pleasure in hearing this. But please don't forget, what is the idea here? They love Krishna so much that they want to that they don't want service from him. They want to serve him. Hare Krishna. This is the idea of bhakti. All right. Tomorrow, I don't know if tomorrow, but next, we will hear my favorite leela at the moment. It changes, but I thank you very much. And now we will do we will welcome Krishna. It's the yes, very good. It's the what is it called again? Adivas. It's a time when we greet Krishna, the day before his appearance. We will show different items to Krishna to give pleasure to him. I sometimes have seen Adivasas when you bring cows into the temple room and tulsi and many things. And here we will just show on the altar, but we will all sing the holy names together. We have requested Gaur Krishna to sing Kirtan, and please all sing, and after that Adivas, we will serve you a prasadam so that you are so well nourished tomorrow that you don't even think of pizza. That you are so well taken care of that you don't, that you can fast also to midnight. It, by the way, that's good. Please try to, before the Lord appears, we are waiting for him. Hare Krishna. All right, Hare Krishna.